You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, so I was telling the boys, I yesterday got so excited at one point. Now, Jason, you're not a coffee guy, pretty sure, right? You don't drink coffee.
Never.
And I'll say, I don't really like coffee. I go long stretches. I've gone years without drinking coffee. Mm-hmm. But I'm on a stretch where I'm drinking coffee in the morning. I'm not getting enough
sleep.
Because
it gives you a bolt.
It's desperately
a bolt or
needed.
A jolt.
Well, a bolt. Lightning bolt. It gives you a lightning bolt.
A bolt of energy.
I've never heard of bolt.
Neither have I. He kind of botched it. It's supposed to be jolt.
It does rhyme.
Maybe I need it.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right, right.
So, and my wife and my daughter, my daughter in particular, my oldest, very bougie and spoiled, yeah. And she likes all the fancy stuff.
Oh, believe me, my girls are the same way.
Exact, right?
Same way.
And believe, they think, you know, you got to have the Starbucks coffee. And by the way, I don't even think that's that bougie, but they got to have the Dunkin' Donuts coffee. And I've convinced them that I'm not wasting my money on that. I'm like Valdez. I get the Folgers. I get the cheapest vat. Okay,
right.
And we put it in a glass container.
The number one is Maxwell House. Folgers is just a step above it.
I'm not even sure. One that we've been getting lately is in a blue bin.
That's Maxwell House.
Yeah, because I just go, that's $5.49, right, for a bin or whatever. And
right.
The other one's $9.99.
Right, and that's a tiny bag.
They can't tell the difference, especially when you put a little creamer in. Nobody, you can't tell the difference. So. I've won that battle, and it looks okay in your house because we have a nice little container you put it in. Nobody knows the difference. My kid, they can't tell the difference. Yesterday on the table, though, she had bought for our vacation. You know, she's starting to load up stuff that we're going to bring, you know, coffee, paper towels, you know, stuff you bring to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
There were two boxes of Krispy Kreme coffee, and for a second, I thought it was coffee that tastes like a Krispy Kreme donut. And I almost pulled my pants down.
And made love to it.
And, yeah. Yeah. And went to town. And I went, wait a second. That's Krispy Kreme coffee. But meanwhile, I am trying to... I'm not keto anymore because I am allowing some sugar. There's no doubt. But I'm trying to be low carb. But I would abandon all diets for Krispy Kreme coffee. In fact...
If it tasted like that.
They should make Krispy Kreme coffee. Like, what are they doing? But my wife said, no, it's just medium roast. Yeah, it's like Dunkin' Donuts regular coffee.
Right.
So I don't know why she bought Krispy Kreme's regular coffee, but why does the Krispy Kreme just go
cheaper?
All in?
Is it cheaper?
Probably not.
Is that your million-dollar idea?
Yeah, why doesn't Krispy Kreme just go all in and make Krispy Kreme coffee? Mm. Like coffee that tastes like a Krispy Kreme donut?
You know what?
I'm all in.
Hey, you know what? They should make celery that tastes like pizza.
Scoop of vanilla, scoop of chocolate. Don't waste
sure.
my time.
I mean, celery has no flavor. But why would Krispy Kreme just make regular coffee?
So because you have your donut with your coffee.
Exactly. I mean, a large part of their business.
Yeah, but what if you're going to sell
a large part of their business are people that come in the morning, they get a donut, and they want a cup of coffee.
Okay, but if you're going to sell stuff at Safeway or wherever she got, I don't know where she got. I know for a fact she didn't go to Krispy Kreme. So she obviously got that at some
flavor.
Retail
sure,
spot.
It's there. It's much like there's 20
brands.
Do
they sell Krispy Kreme coffee at Safeway? Because that's where we do our
I'm
shopping.
I'm sure they do.
So why wouldn't they sell Krispy Kreme coffee?
That tastes like the donut.
Yeah. Because there aren't many things in life better than a Krispy Kreme
maybe
donut.
Maybe it's harder to do that. I have no idea.
I'll put a Krispy Kreme donut up against any donut. Any donut. Just the regular glaze.
I'll put
silly.
Fractured prune donuts at the beach.
I
over
like fractured
anything.
Prune. They put a million things on it. It's too much. It's too doughy.
Yeah, no. What do they call it? An OC sand. It's just like a glaze. It pummels any donut you'll ever have.
I'll try it. If there's not 100 people in line, and we'll not wait in line for a donut.
Oh,
that is dumb.
You can't get into Fractured Prune in under 25 minutes.
Yeah, I don't do lines.
Well, that's why they're so good.
I'd rather sit on the toilet.
I'm just telling you, they crush Krispy Kreme donuts.
Well, I've had.
I'm not saying it's worth waiting 30 minutes, but they do.
Didn't they have a bunch that opened up here?
Huh?
Didn't that Fractured Prune have?
Well, it's kind of blowing up.
Maybe.
I mean, they have quite
years
a few.
Ago.
I mean,
don't they have duck
ago,
donuts
we each
up here?
Had our own flavor at Fractured
yeah.
Prune.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a thing. Yeah.
I don't know where the closest one is, but that's my number one seed.
But we tend to see them more beachy areas.
Some people love duck donuts. I can't really distinguish the difference.
Well, sure you can. They put bacon and they put all these weird things on.
Well, it depends. You can also get your basic.
Yeah,
at any one of those places,
too
you get your basic.
You can tell the difference. The difference is, in my
opinion, EB likes his
donuts
stale.
Huh?
You believe duck donuts is too doughy?
Yes. Especially compared to Krispy Kreme. I think Krispy Kreme is probably the worst for you donut in history. But it's so light and so sugary and so silly.
If you're just talking about the
pummel six of them.
I honestly think I could eat a dozen.
You could eat a whole box.
I think I could eat a box.
Yeah.
I don't think it would be that much of a challenge.
That's got to be 20,000 calories.
Hey, someone's texting in that they do make donut-flavored coffee.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Does Krispy Kreme make their crispy, silly donut? Yeah. Well, send me a case. Because I'll just balloon up to cakes the size for a Krispy Kreme.
I'm not a coffee drinker or consumer, but my
coffee
wife
actually
is.
Sucks.
My wife is, but she's more of an iced coffee. Like I know, like at McDonald's, for example, they have all kinds of flavors. I always forget. It's like she gets a vanilla iced coffee. People get their shots of things. So I think I wouldn't be surprised if Krispy Kreme has some sort of infusion, because even a place like McDonald's has different variables. And they used to just sell coffee.
Yeah, you could be right. If someone's saying that there's donut-flavored coffee, there you go. You just got to find it.
All right. Do they sell that at Safeway?
No idea.
Go EB Junkies on Twitter. Send me the link. I'll buy a box of it.
Well, you might want to stay away because it might become addicting, and then there's more sugar in it. And then there goes your keto diet.
No, I can't look myself in the mirror and say I'm keto right now.
Yeah.
I can't because I'm sneaking little things here and there.
What kind of coffee did you have this morning?
Just regular coffee, but
is
I mean
that,
I like
that coffee that they
oh,
have
no,
here.
Oh no, I make it at home.
Oh okay.
Yeah, I program my little silly coffee maker every night.
Gotcha. I would love to know how much money my daughter spends at Starbucks every year.
Well, I
probably
will say
get
this.
It on your credit card report, right?
Well, no,
I don't know.
They use their debit cards.
This is the first time I've ever noticed it.
Sometimes
in the
cash
year, it's all categorized.
No, they've got to spend combined. They got to spend thousands. I mean, it's every day. And Starbucks coffee is, I don't know, what is it, $6?
Both of my kids.
That's $12 a day?
Yeah, they're not getting like.
None of my kids have ever drank coffee.
They're not getting like a Pike's Place. They're probably getting some fancy cream, swirl, mocha.
It's $6 or $7.
I will say this. I think I said this the other day. Remember I told you that I finally said enough is enough, and I pulled the credit card from my son. I pulled the credit card from my daughter.
You used to kill me for claiming to do that or threatening to do that.
No, because I always thought they needed it for emergencies, and then I realized, well, if there's an emergency, really all an emergency is calling an Uber, and, you know, they can attach their own debit card or whatever to Uber.
Well,
or
I told
whatever.
I gave my credit card to my daughter at school, and I said, this is for groceries and for gas.
Yeah.
It's all.
Yeah.
So you can go to Kroger and you can go to the gas station.
Yeah.
And then I got the bill and it's, you know, Urban Outfitters.
Oh, no. Mine was Uber Eats every day. Uber Eats sushi. I mean, it was like outrageous meals.
Uber Eats sushi must cost $50.
$35, $40. And then doing it at dinner and then doing it drunk at 4 a.m. And I was like, so we got our credit card.
So, by the way, I did pull the credit card. I have it right here in my pocket.
So did I. But my wife came to me. She said, "That's the lowest credit card we've had in years, years."
Right.
We should have done this 3 years ago.
Correct.
You guys are different than me. My kids, I don't think they've ever used Uber Eats, at least on my dime.
Oh, mine have.
Yeah, yours.
That's just not part of the equation.
Good.
Kelsey has her own credit card. That means she pays the bill on her credit card.
Well, she can afford it now.
Yeah. Good for you. You've done a better job with that, with being more fiscally responsible. I have catered to them and given them more opportunity to take advantage of me.
Uber,
and they have!
And I'm not an Uber person anyway. I had a neighbor who would literally order Uber Eats from a place that was four blocks away. When I lived in Crown Farm, we could walk to Mezza and Pizza and Coastal Flats and walk to all those places. And he would order it. I'm like,
that's why
doing?
The country is
like,
fatter than every other country in the world.
And I'm always for, I still do old-fashioned takeout because I can save a few bucks, and it's not that hard to drive 2 minutes to pick up a pizza or whatever you need to pick up.
Should go down to Ocean City in July and see how many people are Uber eating. Over Uber eating.
Right.
Oh, the country.
Oh, it's just the biggest.
All right, got to take a break. Bears Beluga's in Tokyo covering the Olympics. He is scheduled to join us next. We will get the latest from the Washington Post. Bears Beluga here on The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. It's Bish, EB, and JP. That is the threesome, should say. Later this hour, we're going to give you a chance to win tickets to go see the Eagles at Capital One Arena. It's a game show Wednesday. We're going to play some Junkerty. So that's coming up at 7:45, but right now, joining us on the BetQL guest hotline, Bet Smarter and Beat the Books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. It's our pal Barry Svaluga from the Washington Post, who's in Tokyo. Hey, Barry.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Oh, he sounds good.
Doing all right, man.
So, Barry, how many days have you been there in Tokyo, and what have you been covering?
Infinity days. And I've been at swimming every day. I love the swimming. And that happens in the morning here, so you guys are getting it prime time over there.
Yep.
I went to Biles last night, which obviously was a story that we didn't expect. opening ceremonies and after swimming ends, I'll bounce around even more. I'll probably take in the women's soccer game on Friday night
What was the flight like? How many connections did you have? What's it been like in the country in terms of the restrictions and everything?
Well, I mean, it's defining, really, Jason. I mean, we had to do two tests before we got on the flight, very specific about what the timing of those tests. We got tested when we got to the airport in Tokyo. We had spit tests in a cup for the first 3 days, and then every 4 days after that, you're masked up everywhere you go.
What about the restaurants?
So, I mean, we're not even allowed for 14 days. We're not even allowed to go to restaurants. We are hotel, office, and venue only. So it's I'm in Tokyo right now. I have never been to Tokyo. And that's kind of a bummer because, you know, a big thing about covering the Olympics is, you know, taking in the city and the culture. And this is a massive place. It's got a huge personality and I'm somewhat worried I'm going to come back having no idea what it's like.
So are you just eating room service at night when you get back, or does the media provide the food? What?
Yeah, it's like grabbing stuff while you're out at venues. Like, you know, last night gymnastics starts at 7:45 local time. So you're kind of, it's just like covering a baseball game at home. You're eating like crappy stadium food and that kind of thing. I have a night off tonight. So Uber Eats is on the way with some sushi.
Nice.
And that's good. I mean, that feels like a gift, right? But it would be really nice to, you know, be out and be with the Japanese people and, you know, kind of mingle and feel what they're feeling and just haven't had that chance yet.
Yeah, it sucks.
So about your experience then during the Simone Biles event and her pulling it out and how that all kind of went down in front of your eyes.
Well, I mean, it's amazing, you know, in one way it's amazing that NBC is trying to pull off and pretend that this doesn't happen in real time, right? It's happening in the morning, your time.
Sure.
And they're going to show this as a package in the evening as if it didn't happen, which is crazy. But in the arena, it's, you know, it was one of the more astonishing things that you could see play out, like as if, you know, LeBron is coming out of game 7 of the finals with a hamstring injury in the first quarter, and you're not quite sure what's going on. My colleague, Emily Giambalvo, who's covering gymnastics for us, she knows what she's looking at with these vaults. I mean, I have no idea. I'm like, what you're doing, Simone, is amazing, but I have zero idea how many rotations you did and what the moves are called. Right. She knows all that stuff, and she called with Simone, did her warm-up vault, and she was like, whoa, she only did 1.5, not 2.5 turns. Something's off. This is supposed to be a layup for her. So then, you know, you're thinking, oh, it's a knee, it's an ankle, what's going on? And then, you know, everything plays out as it did, and it became a more extraordinary story than you even expected. Quite a night.
Yeah, it really is, and we've been kind of talking about it. Kind of depends on what side of the line that you fall on. I mean, mental health is such a general term. I just think that she's, you know, I don't know if she's depressed or not. I would say no. She just lost confidence. I mean, it's a self-confidence issue, and I could read her lips last night watching it. She goes, you know, I just don't trust myself. And she, there's some sort of a mental block with her there. Hopefully she can battle through it, and when she gets to these other events, she can just display what she's good at and great at. So I don't know. What's your feeling about the mental health issue?
It's a super delicate one, right?
Yeah,
because,
yeah,
you know, you would say, I mean, for years we have been like, well, the best athletes fight through these moments of doubt, right? Like that's mental toughness is part of
definitely
being a champion. And
definitely.
And I think you can simultaneously believe that the best athletes fight through it and have empathy for what she's going through in the moment. And I would add, that if you don't have confidence, think about it this way. Like, Jason, you'd appreciate this, right? You have the yips in golf. Like, I cannot make a four footer. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm mentally lost. And what does that affect? It means like you lose your bet against your buddies, or like you have a terrible score, or like you're pissed at yourself afterwards, right? Mm-hmm. If she has the yips in gymnastics, she's, you know, pick a number of feet above the mat, 10, 12, 15 feet above the mat, and she's lost position. She's lost the feeling of where she is in the air. Then it becomes dangerous because she, and she said this last night, and I think we have to trust her on this, that she could risk physical injury because of her mental state. And she was putting, because she was so rattled, she was putting the team in a worse position by staying in the competition. Now, everybody's going to kind of overlook the silver medal because the Americans have won gold the last several Olympics in the mm-hmm. the team all around. Mm-hmm. But what those women did in filling in for her shouldn't be overlooked because
they did really well.
A couple
right?
of them, yeah, a couple of them didn't arrive at the gym thinking they were going to do all the events that they did, and they kind of sucked it up and got it done. So I think it's a fascinating discussion. I think it's one that has changed over not just 20 years or 10 years ago, but probably in the last 2 years. And I think we would be wrong to dismiss the pandemic as a factor. And for Biles in particular, the pandemic pushing the Olympics back by a year, because she fully expected to be retired at this point. Mm-hmm. 2020 was the finish line. And if you're a gymnast and she was pushing through, she's now 24. She expected to push through to 23, which for a gymnast is pretty old, and then be done with it. You've done it since you were 5 or 6. The training is not just mentally draining, but it physically pounds on you. Mm-hmm. And I think of all the people here, that fifth year really wore on her quite a bit.
Yeah, you know what stinks? My wife and I were talking about it. It's such an incredible accomplishment, right, for all of these athletes to get to the Olympics. And then, say, even in the swimming, and you get a silver medal, especially here in the United States, where we it's all about Katie Ledecky and Michael Phelps. But if you get a silver medal, you're second in the world in that event.
That's great.
It's incredible. Hell, even you get a bronze. And we just kind of poop on bronze medals, silver medals. Even the athlete themselves have probably been brainwashed on some level where they don't appreciate it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's, although the I don't know if you saw it, but the synchronized 10-meter diving team that won silver,
were they sized?
They were. That was awesome because they weren't expecting the medal at all.
Were they Americans?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And they had
that's because of the expectation.
And the Chinese team, I couldn't believe it. The Chinese winners, Barry, you probably know this, were 15 and 17. 15-year-olds.
Right. Yeah.
Incredible.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, so much comes into play, right? So expectations are at the height of it. So, and that plays into Biles, right? If she was some nobody with no eyes on her and no mm-hmm. endorsement contracts at stake, and she, I mean, I don't think she would have had the problems that she had. She would have gotten out there and done that. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw the 100-meter breaststroke with the girl, the 17-year-old girl,
yes,
Lydia Jacoby.
Yeah, that was awesome.
She's from a town in Alaska of 2,700 people. She, last year, she had and her family had booked tickets to Tokyo to watch from the stands because there was no way she was going to make the team. She was 16 from Alaska. The delay in the Olympics allows her to make the team. And then no, if she had gotten bronze, it would have been the biggest thing to happen to Seward, Alaska, mm-hmm. In the history of the town. And she comes out of nowhere and she's free of her mind and free of her body. And she you know, wins gold. And it shows something about the difference in expectations for sure. I mean, and I would also say that, you know, I think it's my ninth Olympics. I have long past the point of being dismissive of a silver medal performance or a bronze performance. Mm-hmm. And then you further examine, I don't know if you guys paid attention to Tori Husk, the 17 or 18-year-old swimmer from Arlington. She finished in fourth by 1/100th of a second.
Right, by a fingernail. So
by a gnat's eyelash, right? Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. so you then carry that for 4 years. Like, she's either defined for the rest of her life as an Olympic medalist, or for 4 years, she's like, I was a hundredth off. How do I analyze? There's a million places that I could have made up a hundredth. Mm-hmm. I've got to try to get back in the pool all that time when we're not going to think about Tory Husk for 4 years. And then, you know, or I guess three now in 2024 in Paris, we're going to be like, oh yeah, she's from Arlington and she's swimming at Stanford and she missed out on a medal by a hundredth of a second. I wonder how she's done. Meanwhile, she's put all that work in isolation and anonymity. I mean, it's the, you can't be dismissive of any of the athletes who have been here. I don't mean to be overly sympathetic, but it's just, it's an inordinate amount of work that goes on in isolation. We never know about it.
There's a ton of stuff I want to ask you about the Olympics, but we only have a few minutes. Just wanted to talk about Strasburg here for a second. I'm sure you heard he's done for the year for another, I don't know how many injuries stints he's had, DL stints. It's got to be 10 or 12 now.
And this is right up there with Tommy John, if not worse than Tommy John.
Yeah, this is a big one, Barry. And I know you cover the Nats and you're very familiar with everything. And, you know, he signed the $245 million deal. This could end up being the worst contract in the history of baseball. It really could. I mean, he's getting $35 million a year for the next 6 years. And we don't know if he's going to pitch. And if he comes back, we don't know if he's going to pitch well. You know?
No, this is
a big one.
You're totally right. But I always want to... I never want to be like revisionist history, right? Mm-hmm. Like in the fall of 2019, after he was the World Series MVP.
Yeah, I know.
If you wanted to sign him, you know, he had broken through. He was what he was supposed to be. He was homegrown. And you know, at the time, you know, do you want to keep Anthony Rendon? You want to keep Anthony Rendon, right? But they weren't going to be able to keep both of them. And I'm not, did they overpay and did they bid against themselves? Maybe it's not my money. So if it limits them in how they can build their team in the future, that's a problem. So again, you can kind of understand the deal at the time it was made and now understand it as a disaster in the moment, still time to salvage it. But in the moment, it's a disaster. The thing I want to be careful with and the thing I think, you know, 8 years ago or something, I was probably a little cavalier about is if anybody thinks that Steven Strasburg is like, well, I've got my money and you know, whatever, I have these injuries and at least my family's taken care of. It's just not the case. And that doesn't make the Nationals a better team. It doesn't make it a better deal. But he cares. And this stuff drives him insane to the point of like folding in on himself. Again, doesn't help him in the standings, doesn't help the future construction of their team. I think the town, I don't think the town at this point, you know, is against him in terms of like, oh, he's stealing money or whatever. I think everybody's just kind of rooting for, you know, let's show up in spring training at some point. Let's pitch 150 innings in a year. Let's be some version of Steven Strasburg. That would be awesome.
That's
such a low bar if you think about
well,
it.
Well, no, I know, but I mean, we got to work up to it, right?
Yeah, you're right. Hey, should Mike trade Max?
I mean, I wrote a column earlier saying he's a tone setter and you want to keep him around and he's gonna go into the Hall of Fame as a National and that's the first one and you don't want to do that. Not to contradict myself, but I think everything should be on the table. And honestly, you know, I think the one to try to trade is Turner. Love him, but you've got a year and a half there, so that's real value. I mean, Max Scherzer for 2 months, particularly coming off of this start where he was scratched and maybe some questions there, he's not going to restock your farm system. A year and a half of Trey Turner, if you don't feel like you're going to get a long-term deal done with him, that could bring real value. And then you start talking about, you know, trade hand, you know, trade. The 1 year guys, Hudson, the relievers go like crazy at this time of year, right? Like they're just swapping teams. I mean, Rizzo's brought them in normally, so he can certainly send them out. I trust Mike as a trader. I mean, if we go back through we could talk about the free agent contracts, but the trades he has made, he's like, you know, 40-1 or something. I've done the math. I mean, he wins the trade. So fascinating 48 or 72 hours for those guys, I'm sure.
Hey, Barry, we could talk to you for hours.
I'd like to talk to you for the next two segments, but we got to rock and roll.
Thanks,
guys. I got to get some sushi delivered, so appreciate it.
Enjoy. Be safe out there, bud. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
So it's 9:20 at night over there, and he's just having some sushi.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend.
It's about when I ate dinner last night.
Yeah.
It's crazy. You remember Lisa, who produced our table manners?
Yeah.
And she's doing some stuff with Lindsay Zarniak.
Mm-hmm.
And she happened to send me a picture of Lindsay and her, and they're laughing. And she said, "Look who I'm working with." And I said, "Oh, are you in Tokyo?" And she said, "No." Oh, I said, "Oh, that sucks. You didn't get." She says, "You know what? This is not the year that you want to go to the Olympics."
Correct.
To cover it, yeah.
It just sucks.
Well, yeah. I mean, Barry just said it's basically terrible.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's not the year you
you're testing
go.
Every 20 minutes.
Can't even go to a restaurant.
You can't go to a restaurant. You can't see the city. Yeah.
I see like Unyang tweeting a lot, and you basically go to 7-Eleven and get like. I don't even know. Just food they have there, like cheese.
They have 7-Elevens there.
They have their version. Convenience stores. You know.
All right, got to take a break.
And it's got to suck for the. Sorry, it's got to suck for the athletes. They can't go watch other sports and events.
Yeah, it's so bizarre.
But remember, coming up at 7:45, it is a game show Wednesday. We will play some Junkerty on the show. Your chance to win tickets to go see the Eagles at Capital One Arena. When we come back, we'll continue on the Steven Strasburg line and the Nationals. What does it mean? He's going to have surgery, going to be out for a year. They're likely to trade all their pieces. Has their window officially closed for winning a World Series? Not just this year, but in the coming years. 800-636-1067. Nats fans, if you want to chime in, you can call us on the Gambit DC listener lines. Bet, play, win with Gambit DC, brought to you by the DC Lottery.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Joining us right now is our pal Mike Rizzo, President, General Manager of your Washington Nationals, presented by FH Fur. FH Fur Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical, the official plumbing partner of the Washington Nationals. Absolutely the best. Good morning, Mike.
Mike, oh, I didn't punch him up. My bad. Mike, are you there? Hey, buddy.
Hey, I'm here. Good morning, guys.
Hey, I'm curious, on an average night, how much sleep does Mike Rizzo get?
During the season,
I try to get 8 hours of sleep. Yeah,
wow.
I really do.
Oh, I'm so
jealous. Sure.
God,
you and I are a lot alike, my friend.
Jason's able to.
I mean, You guys have to get up, I would imagine, like at 5 in the morning or something, don't you?
4:30, yeah.
I get up at 4:15. Yeah. Believe me, it's a terrible life.
I'm so jealous. I'm jealous of a lot of things that Mike Rizzo has.
You know what that means?
But 8 hours might be at the top of the list.
That means Mike is waking up at, like, now. Because he goes to bed late, right? Because you got to be wired after a game.
He probably goes to bed no earlier than midnight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, probably midnight to 8 o'clock or something like that. I usually get in during the season, I get in the office at 9:30 or so. And,
that's not bad.
And we work all day. We have a game that night. By the time you're out of the clubhouse, you're home at midnight. Yeah.
But this is also a busier time.
That's why I was setting it up. It's like, yeah. How much?
This is a different thought. Yeah, you guys, I thought the question was on a normal game day or something like that. Yeah, it's less sleep. You know, these are exciting times, man. You know, trade deadline, draft days, draft prep. This is what it's all about. I'm excited to attack this trade deadline. It's not the attack mode I want to be in. I like to be aggressive. I like to be buying. I like to be putting final pieces of the puzzle into winning a world championship. But this is as important. You know, we have to get our ducks in order. We have to make good, intelligent trades and deals to retool this thing to get back in the hunt and win some more championships. That's our goal.
You know, obviously, Mike, I mean, you guys were on fire in June, right? I think Jason said best record in baseball.
Best record in the National League.
And then, you know, Schwarber got hurt and Strauss has been having issues and, you know, all this stuff. And then so then July just really turned into a nightmare. And so you're in a position where we all know you don't want to be, but on some level, are you somewhat thankful that, I mean, the decision has sort of been made for you, right? Like, you don't have, this is not dicey at this point. Like, you know, you're going to try to do what you can to better the team for the future because it doesn't look like a run this year is realistically in the cards.
You don't have to be Casey Stengel to figure that out. Yes,
right.
We're not playing well enough to go out and acquire players to help us in the short term for this run. We have to look at this thing on a global level and see where we're at as an organization, where we have to improve to be the consistent winner that we've always been. And, that's our job and that's our goal. And, you know, let's not forget, you know, when we came into this thing, we were winning 59 games a year, and since 2009, we won more games than anybody in baseball except for the Dodgers and maybe the Yankees. So we know how to do this thing. We know how to retool on the fly. We always want to be competitive. Our ownership is very, very competitive. They give us the resources to do really good things, and we're going to make good. We're going to make good, prudent deals to the deadline and improve our organization, our ball club. And our goal is to win now. It always has been, and it always will be. But also with an eye on the future to build a sustainable winner. And there's no shame in taking a step back and after a decade of winning competitive baseball, is winning more than any other team in the league, except for a couple of teams, and winning world championships and division titles and wild card wins and all that stuff. There's no shame in taking a step back and retooling this thing and with our view to win next year and years beyond.
No doubt. This is unfamiliar territory for you, Mike, and I think you're the best GM in baseball. Here's a direct question for you, and I don't know if you can answer it, but is there anybody on this roster that's untradeable?
I mean, if I were to say that, there's the politically correct answer, and then there's the right answer. You know, I think, you know, there's nobody that's untradeable. There's players that I wouldn't think about trading. But if someone came to me with some kind of idea for a Juan Soto, which is as untradeable guy as you can get in the game,
right?
Young, star, controllable, superstar. You know, if someone came with a deal that didn't make sense to them and made a lot of sense to me, you'd have to consider it. If you didn't, it's malpractice. You're not doing your job. But there's guys that you're not going to trade and you don't want to trade.
Right.
But if I can never, you can never say never. And but there's, it's very, very unlikely on a handful of players. But not you can't say never on anybody.
All right. So I don't know what you can tell us. You know, if you got no comment, that's fine. But when I heard that the Trey Turner was available, I was a little surprised because I love Trey. I know you do too. I know his contract situation is a little bit different because he's closer to his UFA. But I just think he's just one of those unique players with power and speed, good defensive player, good in the clubhouse.
Everything.
I mean, I don't want to lose him. But you're saying, let me ask you this. Has someone given you official offers for Trey?
We've taken offers. We've had ideas thrown at us. We've had concepts. But he's he's our shortstop, and he's everything you just said he was. You know, he's one of the greatest trades I ever made, and he turned out to be one of the great superstars in all of baseball. And we're proud to have him here. And he's awesome in the community. He's terrific in the clubhouse. He's a well liked player by the front office and the staff, and the management loves him. And again, he's one of the most impactful players in the game. So you want to trade for Trey Turner, you got to come and get him because he makes your team when you trade for him. So it's got to be a deal that we can't walk away from, we can't refuse. I think Trey understands that. He knows the game as well as anybody I've ever been around, and he knows my affection for him and my affinity for his game and for him and his wife and new baby to be a Washington National. And if something were to happen where we got an offer that we couldn't refuse, he would understand it, and it would be the best thing for the organization. But with that said, I told you the parameters that would have to happen for us to do that deal.
Right. Let me ask you this. Now, I don't know what to believe and what not to believe, but Peter Gammons is pretty plugged in. When he tweets out that the learners, your bosses, are not willing to give Trey the long-term deal that he probably would get, I don't know if it would be on the Tatis level, but is that accurate or inaccurate?
We've been in conversation with Trey on extensions for the last couple of spring training, so it would be inaccurate.
Okay.
What do you say, Mike, to people that because of like the Gammons report and because of some things that have happened in the past, there are parameters that you can't have everybody, that there are some people that are afraid that we're not going to be able to keep our superstars. What do you say to that?
What I say to it is we've had more superstars here than any team in baseball, and they're here. We draft them, we sign them, we develop them. Some we extend, some we don't. It's all about how do you allocate your roster, how you allocate your revenues, and what's your payroll going to look like. And we do as good a job as anybody to have superstars in this city. You can rattle off the names of superstars that we've had here for 5, 6, 7 years, and we've had as many as anybody. So,
talking to Mike Rizzo, president and general manager of the Washington Nationals. He's brought to you by FH Fur Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical, the official plumbing partner of the Washington Nationals. Absolutely the best. So a couple days here until the trade deadline, and a lot of people talking about Max Scherzer. I know you can't get super specific on anything, but have some teams called you with just laughable deals, and what do you do when that happens?
No, I think the respect for Max Scherzer out there is immense. They know what they have, and they know what they're calling about. I think that every GM that calls about Max Scherzer is respectful of what he is and what he can bring to that team at the trade deadline.
So, and again, I don't know if this is true or not, but what we're hearing is that Max would prefer a West Coast team if he is traded. And if that's accurate, does that make you listen to those West Coast team offers more closely to benefit him?
Well, Max has earned a right to have some control over his destiny. When you get 10 years in the big leagues and 5 years with the same team, you've earned that right. It's something that is in the CBA. It's something that is earned as a you have to be a really good big league player to get that right. And he's earned it. Max and I have probably the closest, most unique relationship I've ever had with a player. I've known him since 2005. We drafted him in 2006 with Arizona. I've seen him, his progression into becoming a Hall of Famer. So we have great dialogue on a daily basis, almost, with different subjects, baseball and alike. So we have talked quite a bit over the past couple of weeks about the possibility of being traded at the deadline, and he gets it. He understands it, and we want to make sure that we do what's right for Max and what's right for the organization.
Talking to Mike Rizzo, GM of the Washington Nationals. So let's get to Steven Strasburg. Where is he for the average fans that don't know what thoracic means and all these things? Where is he? What does this mean for his future?
Well, he's going to have the thoracic outlet surgery. It's not a common surgery for baseball players and pitchers, but it's been performed before. Will Harris just had it earlier this season. Dr. Pearl in Dallas is one of the experts in that type of surgery. He's going to perform it in Dallas today for Strauss. It comes with he should be able to pitch, and a normal rehabilitation for this injury is, pick up a baseball. You could begin throwing program in 3 months, and it's a 5 to 6 month kind of rehab to return to pitch. So, that's what we're hoping for. We're hoping that he comes to spring training in preparation for, and preparing for the season. And this alleviates this problem. I think it's always a sigh of relief when you figure out what's wrong with a pitcher who's had this nagging issue, for a couple of years. And I think that Strauss is relieved. I know it's bad news that he's, going to miss, 6 months. But if we can get this thing ironed out, we know what it is. If we fix it with the surgery and he rehabs it, we think that he's got some good days ahead of him.
Can you give us examples, Mike? You say it's a rare injury for pitchers. It doesn't happen that often. Can you give us instances of guys that have come back from this TOS surgery and they've been excellent?
I remember we rehabbed Chris Young when Chris Young was here at the end of his career. He had the surgery and returned to pitch. He's the only one that I have any experience with. There's been a handful of other guys who have had the surgery and returned to pitch. It's not a long list. It's not a common injury for a baseball player. It's not a common surgery. So, it's something that we're going to have to monitor closely. And he'll be in the best care and the best hands and the best medical staff in baseball. So we're confident that we'll get him to a point where he'll be ready to prepare himself for spring training next year and prepare himself for the season.
I think I know what your answer will be to this, but I just want to ask anyway. Can you be Sellers, Mike, and still put together a super competitive roster next year? Like, that seems to be a delicate balancing act. Right.
Well, not really. I mean, when you're selling, we're certainly going to be sellers on open minded about all players that have a contract that ends this season. So we won't have those players with us next season anyways, unless you re-sign them, which is all always a possibility. But you look at the core group that we have right now that would be returning next year. You've got Josh Bell at first, who's having a terrific after a poor month that started
right
crazily with the COVID. He missed we had those 11 players that missed the first 10 or 12 days of the season, and then it took them about 3 weeks to get going. He's been rolling after that. He's been terrific for us. You got Trey Turner. You got Victor Robles Soto. You got our young players. Keyboom, I know you guys, everyone's down on Keyboom, but he's a 23-year-old player that's still well-liked in the industry. And you got a 21-year-old, Luis Garcia, that's hitting .300 with 12 home runs in AAA and younger than probably 80% of the players that were drafted in this year's Major League Baseball draft. So,
wow.
That's a good core group of position players. You've got a rehabbing comeback situation in Strauss. I've seen Corbin, whose velocity is back up to 94, 95 in the last handful of starts, hoping he gets back on track. And then you got Ross, Fetty, and then the young guns that we're going to have to count on in the near future, and the Cavellis and Henrys and Rutledges and Cates and the Seth Romeros and that group of starters. And so, you know, you sprinkle that good core group of our own players in, and then you go out to the trade and free agent market, and we're here to compete. We're here to win championships. That's what our goal will be next year, and we will attack that when the time comes. Right now is trade deadline time. We're locked and loaded to help the franchise, and it's going to be an exciting couple of days.
All right, so yes or no, you don't have to tell me the names of the players. I know you wouldn't. Yes or no, you're really close to at least one trade right now.
I would say that we are not close to any trade right now.
Oh, okay.
But we have a lot of time before that.
Okay.
This is a deadline business. That this trade deadline thing is all about the deadline, and player and these smart GMs, you know, often don't give their best bullet until later on in the process.
Oh, I can only imagine how much you're on the phone for the next 48 hours. But all right, so getting back to Trey real quick. So last night I'm watching the game. He beats out the ground ball to short, gets to third on because Harper was loafing, and he scores. And then second inning, he's not out there, and Carpenter and FP don't know why. I'm thinking, oh, they just traded him. Obviously, great. I'm glad it wasn't that, but he passes or doesn't pass the COVID test, so he's out.
Your daughters?
Yes, my daughters love Trey Bay. And so when did you find out exactly? When did you find out that he tested positive and had to be pulled?
Minutes before we pulled him, because that's when the test results came back.
Wow.
Literally came back right after the start of the game. He popped positive, and obviously there's protocols in place where you have to remove him immediately. You put him in isolation and that type of thing. You run the contact tracing to see if there's anybody else that was exposed. Luckily that there weren't. So that was a good thing. It was like, are you kidding me?
Right,
I mean, with the rough July we had, with all the injuries on the injury front, and all the other things that's happened this month, affect our roster, you know, 48, 72 hours before the trade deadline, Trey gets, he pops positive for the COVID. So it was an active evening last night. And JP, I didn't get my 8 hours tonight, last night, that's for sure.
But what about all the guys who he was, you know, in the locker room with or on the team bus? I mean, I assume not. How's that work?
That's called contact tracing. And contact tracing, there was no one deemed in the protocols, MLB, that fit the prerequisites for exposed for contact tracing.
I think that has to do with, without saying it, like the vaccination status, I think.
The percentage of players that are vaccinated, correct?
Something like that.
But there's prerequisites for what is a compromised contact tracing. So, you know, there's certain parameters that if you were in proximity for X amount of minutes without a mask in an enclosed file, that's what this thing is all about. And gotcha. It's monitored all the time. So we went through that process. Unfortunately, that nobody else was affected.
I know I'm asking a lot of inside questions here, but does he just stay in that hotel in Philly for the next 10 days, or does he get transported back to D.C.?
Yeah, I think that he will. He has to be isolated for the next 7 to 8 days, and then there'll be, you know, obviously he'll take a million more tests, and then when he's deemed that he is not positive for COVID, we will reinstate him.
All right, thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Appreciate the time.
Appreciate the answers, honesty.
Thank you.
All right, my friend. All See right, you guys
buddy.
Next week.
All okay. Right, all right, buddy. Thank
it's
you.
Mike Rizzo.
So was he saying
GM
that he did? He does have to stay in the hotel.
He
didn't really answer the question. No, wasn't that honest about that.
They're just going to put a big bubble around him and he can do whatever he wants.
So I'm guessing they get him back to D.C. somehow.
I don't know
how they do it.
Because that would suck. Because we've heard stories where guys had Denny McCarthy, PJ Tour, failed a test and had to stay in a hotel in Connecticut for 10 days.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they've...
I don't know.
All right, gotta take a break. Coming up next, we'll switch gears, open up EB's entertainment page here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.